Well, good morning, everyone. Did you get a good sleep? No. Some people don't get a good sleep at all when they're away from home. Well, I'll pray that you get a good one tonight. Before I begin the talk, I wanted to ask several questions. One question I asked last night: how many are from outside Christ the King? Could I see a show of hands? Okay. Now, could you look around, and then would one person from each group or section or individual tell me what parish you're from? I'll start over here.
I'm Beth from St. Valentine of Redford.
Redford, okay. St. Thomas. Okay. Anyone? Yes.
St. Albert the Great in Dearborn Heights.
Dearborn.
St. John Vianney in Flint.
St. Pius the 10th in Flint.
St. John the Evangelist in Love, Colorado.
Oh. Yes. Celine Tecumseh, okay.
St. Elizabeth, St. Dominic, Tecumseh.
St. Stephen's in New Boston.
St. Patrick Patronilla.
St. Patronilla in Glen Ellyn, excuse me.
Go ahead.
St. Patronilla in Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
Well, welcome.
St. Patrick's in Brighton.
Okay. Yes.
Church of Transfiguration in Southfield.
All right. Yes. St. Timothy's in Toronto. You may be the one who came from the farthest.
Yes.
Well, Florida is probably farther. I was thinking internationally.
Came from another country.
Sue? Yes. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
Sue's on a journey into the Catholic Church. And Sue is a... Sue is another Jewish woman who is on her way. So let's
was
keep...
that planned?
No, no.
Barbara?
Oh. Welcome. Welcome.
These things are never planned.
No.
In Detroit.
Welcome. Welcome. Anyone? Yes. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Well, welcome. And I hope that my sisters from Christ the King make you feel very welcome. So, women from Christ the King, please reach out. Get to know them. It's a great blessing that we can all be together here this weekend. And a real time to seek the Lord together and to worship Him. And we're living in difficult times, and we need one another. We need to know that one of the things that the enemy likes to do when you're going through difficult times, whether they're personal or family or parish or whatever, the enemy likes to isolate. He likes to tell you, you are the only one in the world who's suffering like this. You're all alone. He tries his best by all kinds of deceit and all kinds of subtle lying to isolate you. And that's one of the reasons that a weekend like this is so important. is that we come together, that we share together, that we support one another, and that when we go back home, we don't think of ourselves as alone. I have sisters all over who are fighting the good fight and seeking to follow the Lord in the midst of difficulty. So do we need to shut this? Some people are starting to shield.
I'll get it. Sister Ann shields.
That's a servant of God's love. We're finally, Lucy, I hope you're going to give me 5 more minutes by the time we get through. One other announcement, actually 2 other announcements that I wanted to make. One is Jan Sauter. Jan, where are you? Would you stand up so people can see you? Jan is going to be over on that side, and she's got From Renewal Ministries, where I work and where Jan works. She has a couple of CDs of mine that are on suffering. There's kind of a part one that has really sold a lot, and then there's a part two that's kind of new. And so if you're interested in those, just see Jan over by the Pepsi machine. Okay? Also, I'm going to have some sign-up sheets once I get them from the car. I'm going to have some sign-up sheets. If you are not on Renewal Ministries mailing list, and I'm going to qualify that, but if you are not on it, it comes out with monthly teaching that can be very, very helpful. Also gives you a picture of the, we're serving in 25 different countries now in mission work. It gives you a global sense, and a lot of people take their older children or grandchildren sometimes on mission trips with us for a couple of weeks. You might be interested from that angle, but also just from the information and the teaching that you can receive. That newsletter is absolutely free. No strings attached. You will receive it for 6 months. After 6 months, it will just stop, unless you indicate that you want to continue to receive it. So we'll make sure that there are sign-up sheets back there sometime today. So if you would just check that table, both for the CDs and also to sign up, I would be grateful. Do most of you know Renewal Ministries? Ralph Martin is the president of Renewal Ministries, and it's an organization for Catholic renewal and evangelism. As I said, we're serving now in about 25 countries, and the home base for that is here in Ann Arbor. It's a good source of getting the picture of the universal church, but it also gives personal support to you in your own walk with the Lord. The other announcement that I want to make is there is a new organization called Witnesses to Hope. My sisters in Christ the King have probably seen the announcements, but the rest of you would not. Witnesses to Hope is a bi-monthly event for women, sponsored by the community that I'm part of, the Servants of God's Love. The evening consists of a talk by one of the Servants of God's Love and dessert and plenty of fellowship time. You can come to one or any of the talks. It doesn't obligate you. You can come as you're able to come. There were about 60 women at the first event that we had a few weeks ago. The next meeting of Witnesses to Hope will be on Monday, November 16th. Monday, November 16th, 7:30 in the Mengeling Room at Christ the King. So those of you from other parishes, you are more than welcome if you'd like to join us. Monday, November 16th, 7:30 p.m., and the talk that evening will be given by Sister Sarah Burdick. You're in for a good time. But you are also, it is also an evening, I think, to be very, very much inspired. She is a woman who, as you could see from last night, a woman who loves the Word. And I think you'll be very, very inspired and encouraged. So Monday, November 16th at 7:30. You are all welcome to come. And you don't need to be a member of Christ the King in order to come. And we would love to have those of you in your 20s and 30s. Especially if you can get the evening free from all the other activities you're involved in. We would love to have all of you. I think it could be what we're asking, that it be a sign of hope for one another and be able to be a witness to that hope to those around us. So, yes. What will your topic be?
Well, since it is, the group is called Witnesses to Hope, one of the things that we want to continue to do is impart hope. And that's my hope. I'm from the department of the redundancy department.
2 months after that, in January, I will be giving the talk. I don't know yet what I'm going to be speaking about, but in November, you will find out at the meeting next week. Yes, next week. I will have a topic for January. It sounds like we're scattered, but honestly, one of the things that I do and one of the things that I know Sister Sarah does is we really seek the Lord. What does the Lord want to say to this group of people at this time? So it's not like talks you've prepared a year in advance, you know, and you keep giving them. You draw from them, but the talk really will be focused on the Lord knows who's going to come, just like the Lord knew today who was going to be here. And so we try to seek him so that we really can speak the word that he wants you to hear. So the vagueness is not because of a lack of concern. Believe me. I remember one time when I was asked, I was teaching at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I was asked to come to Ann Arbor and speak to their public prayer meeting. And it was a large prayer meeting. It was a very exciting time. It was in the 70s, and I was very honored to be asked to come. So I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? Because you know who's going to be there. What do you want me to say? And nothing. And so the week before, I kept saying, Lord, there's only a week. What do you want me to say? Nothing. So I got on the plane to come up here, and I was praying on the plane, Lord, please help me. And nothing. I mean, it was kind of almost dead inside, like no inspiration, no, nothing. So I arrived here, and I thought, well, it's been the case that the Lord waits till the last minute, but he's always faithful. So the last minute came. I was being introduced. And I said, Lord, please help me. Nothing. And I stood up like I had never given a talk before. Nothing. And I stood up and I thought, all right, I'm going to open my mouth and God's wisdom will come. Not that I hadn't prayed, not that I hadn't read scripture, but everything. John Wimber, who was a non-denominational pastor many years ago, John used to say, sometimes the words just dribble down your chin. You know they're not going anywhere. And that's what it felt like, you know. It was just right there. And so I stood up and I was introduced and they're all looking at me expectantly and nothing. And so I said, St. Francis of Assisi used to say that he would wait until God told him what to say. And if God didn't tell him what to say, then he would bless the people and sit down. So I prayed a blessing and sat down. And it was humbling. Well, you can imagine. There were about 400 people there, you know, and they were waiting to hear what I had to say, and God, I could have made up something, but that wasn't what God was asking me to do. So I ended up remaining silent, and Bert Gezi, who was the one who had invited me, Bert is looking at me like this, you know, across the, like, what are you doing? But so I've tried all my life to be as obedient to the Lord as I can, and that was a watershed moment for me. Was I going to really continue to depend on him, or was I going to manufacture? Doesn't mean you don't pray a lot. Doesn't mean you don't prepare. But there's a sense of being inspired by God, and then a sense of just speaking. Do you know, just kind of saying the words. And I pray always that what I say will inspire, will touch your heart. So you can let me know when we're done here this morning. Some time ago, in fact, a number of years ago, 1975 to be exact, I was in Rome for the first International Catholic Charismatic Conference. It was an incredible event. People from all over the world. We didn't speak the same language, but we did speak the same language. We loved God very much. We wanted to follow him. We had experienced the power that the Holy Spirit can give us through our baptism and our confirmation. We were gathered there, and it was a great privilege. It was a great joy. I think Sister Alice was there too. And was anyone else there? Rose? Okay. All right. So you know what that time was like. So we were in St. Peter's. And it was one of the closing masses, and we were crowded. There were about 10,000 of us in there, and you're kind of squeezed up against one another. You know, you couldn't faint, really. And there were people from South Africa on my left, and there were people from France on my right. And I used to be able to speak a little bit of French. And so I was talking to this man, elderly man from France. And so then Mass began, and at the conclusion of the Mass, there were several prophecies. Cardinal Sunens was the main celebrant for the liturgy. Paul VI was there that day and the next day for part of the events. And this was the prophecy. Because I love you, I want to show you what I am doing in the world today. This is 1975. I want to prepare you for what is to come. Days of darkness are coming on the world. Days of tribulation. buildings that are now standing will not be standing. Supports that are there for my people now will not be there. I want you to be prepared, my people, to know only me and to cleave to me and to have me in a way deeper than ever before. I will lead you into the desert. I will strip you of everything that you are depending on now so that you will depend just on me. A time of darkness is coming on the world, but a time of glory is coming for my church. A time of glory is coming for my people. I will pour out on you all the gifts of my spirit. I will prepare you for spiritual combat. I will prepare you for a time of evangelism that the world has never seen. And when you have nothing but me, you will have everything. Land, fields, homes, and brothers and sisters, and love, and joy, and peace more than ever before. Be ready, my people. I want to prepare you. That was immediately followed by this prophecy. I speak to you of the dawn of a new age for my church. I speak to you of a day that has not been seen before. Prepare yourselves for the action that I begin now, because things that you see around you will change. The combat that you must enter is different. It is new. You need wisdom from me that you do not yet have. You need the power of my Holy Spirit in a way that you have not possessed it. You need an understanding of my will and of my ways that I work that you do not yet have. Open your eyes, open your hearts to prepare yourselves for me and for the day that I have now begun. My church will be different. My people will be different. Difficulties and trials will come upon you. The comfort that you know now will be far from you. But the comfort that you will have is the comfort of my Holy Spirit. They will send for you to take your life, but I will support you. Come to me. Band yourselves together around me. Prepare, for I proclaim a new day, a day of victory and of triumph for your God. Behold, it is begun. At the conclusion of those two prophecies that came through Ralph Martin and Bruce Yoakam, the conclusion of those two prophecies, there were others. But at those, I looked on my left. I felt like I was in the middle of seeing the parable of the seed and the sower. Those on my left, good brothers and sisters, it was very hot. It was May. People were fainting. I mean, it was genuinely hot with that many people in St. Peter's. And the people on my left were saying, I wonder when this is going to be over. I need air. I need to get out of here. On my right was that elderly Frenchman, and he was down on his knees. How he got down on his knees, I don't know. But he was down on his knees weeping. And right then, the Lord said to me, pay attention. Pay attention. That the cares of this life, the anxieties of the day, the difficulties that we face can so consume us that we miss what God is saying. And I felt like the Lord was saying, lift your head. Lift your head. Lift your eyes. Fix your gaze on me. When Pope Paul VI was brought in that day, and he was still on the chair, you know that, the chair they carried him in on, and when he came in, he looked like a tortured man. He really did. He was very somber, and very serious. And out of that 10,000 people, even with the Sistine Choir singing, out of that 10,000 people rose this Alleluia, the eightfold Alleluia. Every language and tongue and people and nation could all sing Alleluia, and they all knew the eightfold Alleluia. And that began, it just rose up. And Paul VI just looked, he started looking like this around, and then he started to smile. And then he lifted his hands, and it was when he came up to the altar, he just reached out his arm like this and called Cardinal Sunens up, because he had made Cardinal Sunens the protector of the renewal. And he just called him up and called him beside him and put his arm around him. And it was a great moment of affirmation, but for me it was a great moment to see the work of the Holy Spirit in him, inspiring him, giving him discernment, and it lifted up his heart. And in the process, it lifted up my heart. Now, that's close to 40 years ago. Other countries of the world have experienced the immediacy of this prophecy. Brothers and sisters who were there from Lebanon, from Honduras and Nicaragua, from the Philippines, from India. There were people there, as I said, from every language and tongue and people and nation, and people have said to me over the years, this came true. This was true in our country. We've seen signs of it, and we are in the midst of facing some difficulties. We know it. Personally, nationally, corporately, financially, there are difficulties. And I keep going back to the prophecy, which says, the things that you found comfort in will be far from you. But the comfort that you will have is the comfort of my Holy Spirit. And right here in this room, right here, there are many people carrying very heavy burdens. Some of you are carrying deep wounds. Some of you are experiencing great difficulties in your marriages. Some of you have very extensive physical difficulties. Some of you have children who have gone astray. No matter what you did, they've gone elsewhere. All those plus many, many more. They weigh on us. They're heavy on us. And we're tempted to say, where is God? I've tried to serve him. I've tried to follow him. I've tried to be obedient. I've tried to be faithful. And look what happens. And I've encountered people across this country who say, yeah, the charismatic renewal or my faith, where does it get you? Nowhere. So I'm just going to go my own way and take care of myself. I'm going to protect myself. And that's the temptation, isn't it? When times are difficult, we get a siege mentality. We close in. We're going to take care of ourselves. And this is the time where I think that we, out of faith, not out of great feeling, believe me, but out of faith to say, come Lord. Come Lord for your people. Come Lord for my family. Come and do what you need to do to bring us to yourself. It's a very brave prayer because you don't know what it entails. But you will know that you are right in line with God's will when you pray that way, and the comfort and the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you. I want to take a look at some specific things that I think could be helpful, and if you saw in your folder, you had a little prayer there from Ephesians 3, beginning with Ephesians 3, 14 to 20, it's about 21. Let's read that together. It's a little blue card that you should have in your folder. Can you share with somebody if you don't have it? Let's read this together. This is a prayer. Let's pray this together. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Make that prayer your own. Make that prayer your prayer daily. Really want to encourage you because it gives you hope. It will give you hope. Because you're entering into the prayer of the Holy Spirit himself before the throne of the Father for you. Came through our brother Paul. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It says in one verse, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. You know, when Scripture uses the word know, it doesn't mean intellectual information. It means to know intimately, fully. That's what God promises. This is the truth. Right in the midst of what you're encountering. Now, I'm just looking across this group, and I know so many of you personally, and I know the crosses you're carrying. I know the pain. I know the loneliness. Look at this. This is what God wants to do for you through his Holy Spirit. But it means that I have to pray this. And I have to ask for the grace of the sacrament of baptism and confirmation. Stir it up. Fill me with this kind of faith that I can believe that you do what you say you will do. And it's not just a matter of getting enthusiastic. It's not that. Although true enthusiasm, you know that word comes from breathed into by God. True enthusiasm would be very good. But I want to encourage you right here at the outset of this retreat. Look at what God did for Debbie. Debbie had no understanding of that, no picture of, she couldn't see the end. But she kept seeking. She kept seeking. And you can say, I've been seeking for 20 or 30 years and nothing happens to me. Keep seeking. God knows the perfect timing. He knows. He's the architect for our love. It's out of His mercy. And if in faith you can embrace it, no, you don't want the trials. No, we don't want the difficulties. But if you can embrace it and say, Lord, through this, may I become the disciple you've called me to be. May I give you honor and glory. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. Scripture says, this passage says, may you be rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. And that's what I want to spend the main part of the few minutes that I have left. Rooted. How deep are your roots? How deep are they in Christ? Trial and difficulty will tell you how deeply rooted you are. Don't be ashamed if your roots are shallow. Just say, my roots are shallow. God, come. There was, and some of you have heard me tell some of these stories before, but they're just such graphic images of what I'm trying to convey that I repeat them. When I was in Steubenville, there were about 6 blocks in a residential area of Steubenville that had the most beautiful trees. And no, I don't know what kind of tree it was. But they were beautiful trees. They were leafy. They almost reminded you of maples, but they weren't maples. And there were about 6 blocks that when you rode down this or walked it, you were just like a canopy, you know. It was gorgeous. And in 76 or 77, we had a tornado, literally, go through Ohio. And it took this block, this 6 blocks. And when we went to that area and looked, all the trees, all of them, 6 blocks, all over, towering, beautiful trees. The roots were shallow. The roots were very small and not deep. And I stood looking at that and I thought, there's a meditation here. These are beautiful trees. I thought they were firm and sturdy, but the roots were very shallow. Paul says in this prayer, may you be rooted and grounded in love. We need our roots to go deep. Deep. There's a certain species of the bamboo tree. And I thought, oh, boy, is this good for image. But there's a certain species, and no, I don't know what it is. But there's a species of the bamboo tree that when you plant the seed, you see absolutely nothing for 5 years. 5.5 years. You see nothing. Does that feel like your life sometimes? You know, the seed of faith is planted, but you see nothing. You have no evidence. This person has a gift of healing. This person has a gift of prophecy. And this person can heal and all that kind of thing. You know, that it can get us focused on the wrong thing. And you look at this bamboo tree. What is going on underground for 5.5 years is that the whole underground system of roots and sources of water are being developed. But you see nothing. And then within 5 to 5.5, they say weeks, it will grow to 90 feet. But it can't grow to 90 feet unless that underground system, those underground roots are in place. That's what sustains it when it has that growth spurt. Now, I think that's a very, from nature we can learn. And we so tend to look at the flower, or the fruit, or the leaf. We look at that, but an awful lot depends on what's going on underground. What's going on in your heart? How strong are the roots in your life? Are they deep in faith and hope and love? If they're not, ask God. And I don't think any of us would not ask God, because we can always grow. But look at those virtues, faith and hope and love, given to you in baptism, supported for you in confirmation. I always, day in and day out, say, Lord, let the graces of my baptism and my confirmation come alive. Fan into a flame the gift that was given to me when I was baptized, when I was confirmed. I pray it daily, because you know how all the things of this life can intrude and can drain us of hope. But when I go back to that, God equipped me, God gave me the gifts, let me grow. And if the growth for years has to be underground, where nobody sees, nobody compliments me, nobody says, you know, that person is really holy, you know. Nobody says that about me. You know, we can so focus on, in one sense, on the surface stuff. Let's make sure the roots are going down deep, and they can go down deep for years without any evident sign. It's okay. God's at work. Be rooted in Christ. You want to be rooted in faith, rooted in hope. That's why we're doing Witnesses to Hope. We want you to be strengthened in hope so that you can endure. So that when life hits you hard in the face, and it does, that you can endure. Because it's not dependent on these, it's dependent on where my roots are. You know, I've told this story a number of times, but it comes back to me. there is a grape vine in England. And I read this years ago in Andrew Murray. Any of you familiar with Andrew Murray? He was a pastor in South Africa, Dutch. And he wrote a marvelous little book. He wrote a number of them, but one on intercession that had to do with the grapevine. And he said there's a grapevine in England. He was writing in the 1800s. There's a grapevine in England, he said, that is bearing fruit. Normally, a grapevine bears 30, 60, 80 clusters of grapes in one season. But he said, this grapevine is, just one grapevine, is producing over 2,000 clusters of grapes in a single season. And he said, this was phenomenal. So, Michelle Green. There she is. Some years ago, she and her husband, Michelle is from England, and she and her husband went back to England to visit, and I said to her, go see if you can find that. See if that grapevine exists. She did, and it does. And it now has a whole greenhouse over it, and they took pictures for me. This is what they discovered, that the roots of that grapevine had traveled over a mile into the Thames River. That one grapevine. All the other grapevines were normal. This one had traveled over a mile into the Thames River in famine, in war, in pestilence, literally. That grapevine flourished. Why? Because where was its roots? In a source that could not dry up. We need to learn from nature. We need to learn from what God does in nature. He's doing that in us. So you want the root of your faith, the root of your hope, the root of your love, you want it to travel. And part of the way it travels is by encouraging it in yourself. Lord, help me when I get hit in the face. Lord, help me to grow in faith right now, to believe that you're here, to believe that you care, to believe that you love me. Give me faith. Give me hope that you can work good out of every disaster. Give me the grace to love. I'm going to talk about that later. Give me the grace to love when I don't want to love. I'd like to punch somebody in the face back. If you can draw on the power of your of baptism and confirmation, and just do it. I mean, say it. You know, you say, how do I do that? I don't know how to do it. Just ask God. He knows. He hears. You have His Holy Spirit within you. Ask Him, God, give me grace today. Give me grace. I want to share with you just as a sign of what I know God wants to do in you as well. I know it. I was walking, those of you, well, I won't identify the place because that could help identify the person. I don't want to do that. But I was out walking, and I was going through a building, and I passed a maintenance man who was working there, and he's often there. And he is, there are a lot of immigrants who do maintenance in this area, and they're from Africa, they're there from all from Mexico and from South American countries, and they're there from China and a number of Asian countries, and they're all working there. And none of them speak English. At least I had a hard time trying to figure out. But when I'm walking in that area, I always say hello to maintenance people. And I was feeling particularly this day, which was just a couple weeks ago, I was feeling particularly kind of down and Lord, you know, what about this situation? What about that situation? What about this? What about that? You know, it's all heavy and I don't have the wisdom and I don't know what to do. You know how you can get. And I'm walking along and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, please, let the grace flow. I know that I'm your daughter. I know that you love me. I know that you care for me. Please, just help me. Give me wisdom. Give me hope. Give me insight. Help me. And I was just praying that way. And as I was going by these people who were coming on duty, so to speak, and they were all coming down the hall, and I just, you know, said hello and just smiled and nodded as I was going by. And I came past this one man who was pushing a big garbage container. And as I passed him, I said, hello. And I said, how are you? I was in another world, but it was coming out of my mouth. Hello, how are you? And he looked up and he said, happy. And I stopped and I said, what happened? So I was just kind of, I didn't expect an answer. It's usually, you know. And he said, happy. And I said, why? And he stopped. And he looked at me straight in the eye. And he said, every time you pass me by, you look at me with respect. And that makes me very happy. I'm grumbling. I'm complaining. See, Jesus, He knows your heart. He knows your intention. He'll work through you. Even when you feel at your worst, He'll work through you. But we need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be rooted and grounded. Lucy, can I just take 2 more minutes? We need to be grounded You know, what to be grounded means is to maintain one's position, to be steadfast. That's what the dictionary tells us. If you're grounded, you're steadfast. You stand firm. You don't give up. You don't get pushed out. You don't get pushed down or pushed back. You stay. If you look at it from the electricity point of view, you're a conducting connection between an electric circuit and the earth. You're the conductor. It goes through you. The power of God. How grounded are you? How steadfast are you when things get difficult? I don't know about you, but it's very, here I am standing up here speaking to you, and it's very easy when something goes wrong to say, here I am serving you all these years, you know, and then you let this happen. Or that happen. Aren't you tempted to those, because, I mean, really, look what I'm doing for God, you know? God should surely return the favor, you know, and take care of me. And it's hard. But if I just say, Lord, work your good out of this. Work your love through this. Use me however you want. He is faithful. I'm going to talk about suffering later. But what I want to say right now is, how rooted are you? How grounded are you? How firm are you so that if and when the storms come, if they come to us nationally, and they could, and they certainly are coming to us personally, how rooted and grounded are you so that you can be a sign, so that the tornado doesn't uproot you, so that war doesn't destroy you? How rooted and grounded? And I want to say, these are the last two things I want to say. The power of His Word is essential to getting rooted. The power of His Word is essential. Daily reading of Scripture. I'm going to say more about that later, but daily reading of Scripture. Let the Word of God form you. Let the Word of God shape you so that you begin to think in accord with it instead of the other way around. When you begin to know God's priorities, when you begin to know what God sees as most important through His Word, things happen. There are times, and I've heard other people say this to me, there are times when somebody asks me for advice and there's something coming out of my mouth, and I'm thinking, you know, that's good. No, really. It's the same way on the radio program. I listen to myself. There are times when Henry Root, who does the recording for me, Henry will stand up, you know, on the other side of the glass and go, you know, like this, because there's something I've said that is kind of profound, you know? And it's not me. I mean, I didn't think it. I'm listening to it. I'm learning. I'm being taught. And that's the power of God's Word. Get rooted in His Word. I think most Catholics are anorexic. I do. I really do. I think we're anorexic. And we keep looking for all other kinds of things to satisfy. The power of His Word can change you and inform you and shape your thinking and shape your speech and shape your heart and how you deal with the trials and the difficulties. Be rooted and grounded. God's Word and the sacraments. God's Word and the sacraments. Be rooted, be grounded, feed, be nourished, be strengthened. You can say, well, I've done that for years and it doesn't do any good, you know. You don't know what's going on underground. You don't know what root system is being developed. Be persevering, be faithful. carry a Bible with you. You know, one of those little New Testament and Psalms? If you don't, carry one with you. Something small. Oh, you get that Bible that we talked about last night, you know, that's practically falling apart because it's been so used. May you have one of those in your home too. But I'm encouraging you to have something that you can carry with you and just let God's Word see it as a banquet and keep feeding on it. And I'll say more about that later too, I hope. But be rooted and grounded. That's the key thing I want to say to you right now. Be rooted and grounded. Use that like an examination of conscience. How rooted am I in Christ today? How rooted am I in faith and hope and love? How grounded am I so that if a storm really comes at me and I get a flash of lightning, how rooted am I so I'm not destroyed? How grounded am I in Christ? Really? Because you're going to live eternally. Every one of us, we're going to live eternally. And there'll be time in heaven, you know, when we can sit back and say, you remember this? Remember this battle? Remember that battle? You know, we made it. We did it. Don't ever give up. And if you feel tempted to give up, don't let the enemy make you feel ashamed. He loves to do that. Oh, yeah, you're a weakling. You can't do it. You'll be lied to. The thoughts go through your head. Just say, no. No, by golly. And turn to somebody, if you can, turn to somebody and say, speak the truth to me. Speak the truth to me, even if they quote scripture to you. And you want to say, you know, take it and say, Lord, feed me on this word. And he will. So draw strength, draw nourishment. Let's be rooted and grounded in love. We'll talk about that. Okay? I'll stop for now.